Good evening. It's Monday night, baby. It's February. That's right. The grey, dull horribleness of January is behind us. We are into February, which has two huge positives. One, it's a very short month, which means we get to March a hell of a lot quicker. And two, we start to really tie up any loose ends and thoughts we have ahead of the Cheltenham Festival, which is what we're going to be doing over the next several Mondays on the lead up to the big 4 days in March, of course. So each night we're going to be reflecting back on what's happened over the last few days. Normally Saturday, Sunday, but obviously given the way Leopardstown went, it'll be Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We'll be having a look at how that's changed our opinions and how that's changed the markets going forward. And then we'll pick three anti-post races for the festival itself and dig into them in detail. So tonight we've got a hell of a lot to talk about from Sandown and from Leopardstown, maybe even from Musselburgh, I don't know. I've got a couple of horses who ran Eye-catching races up in Scotland. So there's loads of stuff going on. And then we will have a look at the Arkle, the Stayers Hurdle and the Champion Hurdle, not necessarily in that order, going on throughout the rest of the evening. It is live and interactive, of course. If you're watching live, make sure you like and subscribe to the stream and say hello in the chat. Get any questions from the weekend, we're going to be doing the look back at the start, and then we'll do each race individually. And then we'll also look ahead to what we've got coming up this week as well. Again, there's so much going on. We've got the big meeting at Newbury, of course. You often throw up an interesting horse at Warwick on Saturday. The Sydney Banks at Huntingdon. There's loads going on. So, look, right now is the freshest, most excited we're going to be about the festival. Granted, in about 4 weeks, our brains might be on the verge of melting, but we will come back as soon as they jump off with the Supreme as well. But right now, this is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. We're excited. There's a lot to talk about. Our thoughts are starting to settle, and the dust is being sifted through. Albeit, the last at Leopardstown was only about 90 minutes ago. My name's Ross Briley. Like I said, we could do 3 hours of shows tonight just on what's happened this weekend. So hello to George Murray, to Scotty Rudd, to David Ladd, to Rompingholm, to Cy Tyson and everyone else who's watching at home. And hello to our panel as well. Mr. Graham Rodway, to my left, was in a fantastic mood ahead, previewing ahead of the weekend for Leopardstown. No doubt enhanced, Graham, by then getting abandoned on Saturday. And it was a Willie Mullins fest. However, there weren't many races that sort of were obvious and necessarily went to plan. One or two, but a few of them, very surprise results indeed. So, yeah, how are you feeling the Monday after the Friday before?
I'm glad it's all over, Ross.
Yeah.
You know, I won't miss the Mullins Fest. It wasn't how I thought it was going to be.
No.
I think we have to make that point straight up. You know, I thought Madra wasn't going to be fully fit, and I don't think there's any doubt he definitely was.
Yeah.
I thought that Factor File and Gaelic Warrior weren't going to be fully fit, and I don't think there's any doubt that they were.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I didn't have a bet there all weekend, because you know, I don't bet on Irish racing very often, tend to concentrate on British stuff. So I'm glad it's over. It's that time of year again, though. It's time to look forward to Cheltenham, isn't it?
Yep.
Like you say, we're pumped for Cheltenham now, and we're not going to be any more pumped than at this point.
It's perfect, isn't it? Because genuinely, like, obviously January is a long grey month, and you had abandonments, and you had glimmers of hope on a Saturday, but your run-of-the-mill stuff was run-of-the-mill. But what a treat to have, you know, graded action on a Monday, and then also look ahead to the rest of the week and think that every day's got a little bit of interest. But to be fair, I think the point you were making on Friday night, previewing the DRF, was it's a very hard punting meeting. It's a very hard meeting to get strong opinions on pre-meeting and get stuck in, but it's an unbelievable meeting to review and pick out those opinions, because like you said, the novices, the juveniles, there were so many races where I had opinions that I wasn't expecting to have at all pre-DRF, and now it's starting to percolate.
Yeah, it's one of those meetings for me where we learn more than we actually know.
Yeah.
Going into the DRF, like we don't actually know. Even like I said on Friday, I don't even think Willie Mullins himself knows what his best novices were going into that.
Because otherwise, he does after. Well, what's the point? I mean, what's the point in running a festival like this pre-spring if you're not going there? If you know every, I think it'd be arrogant to go there thinking you knew everything, right?
Absolutely. And like I said Friday, if Willie Mullins doesn't know what his best novices are, then what chance have we got? But like I say, now Willie Mullins knows what his best chances are. Doesn't he going into Cheltenham in the novice races for sure? And we all know. So we've learned a lot more now than we did, than we knew going in on Friday. And that's what's fascinating about the DRF for me. Like I like a bet and I like to punt. And for me, it's not a great betting festival because I just don't know enough going into it. But I know enough now to then go, right, well, how can we apply this going forward to Cheltenham?
Absolutely, and that's what we're there for tonight. Tom Siegel wasn't with us on Friday, but you got you had a good weekend. In particular, I mean, you tipped a big price winner over at Musselburgh, didn't you as well? And I don't know. You tell me in your own words, Tom. How did you find the weekend from a personal perspective in terms of how much did you get right and how many new opinions have you got having watched 3 days of top class action?
Well, to start with, I had. Punting wise and tipping wise was perfectly fine. I had a nice winner today. I had a nice winner at Musselburgh. But apart from that, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And I won't go into it, but I drove all the way to Northampton to watch a football match. I left at 11 o'clock, got back at 5 and didn't see a ball being kicked. So that's a story for another day. But so all weekend was a bit of a disaster apart from the horses. Yeah, listen, the thing about the Dublin Racing Festival and what Irish people and Irish racing does right is timing. It's the perfect timing. That's why I think the DRF has helped them with their domination, no doubt at all, because they're having competitive, good races adding 6 weeks before the festival. The perfect timing. That's why Newbury at the weekend is very good. It's always been a very good trial. It's the perfect time. Do you know what I mean? You can get your horses perfectly set up for the festival. So like you boys have just said, we've got so many new things to think about now because of the DRF, not least the fact that I didn't think it was that great. Yeah. I think today there was some, I mean, in fact, Farr was awesome, but I wouldn't be scared about any of the other horses, I don't think, in any of the other races, if I was a British trainer. Normally you sit and watch the DRF if you're Nicky Enders or someone like that with your hands over your face and you're, you know, behind the sofa. I don't think you needed to this year. I really don't. I didn't think there were that many. Now, it might have been ground-related, and obviously Narciso Haas was very good.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the two that came to mind were the juveniles, and in particular, I wasn't... Well, we'll get into it in a bit, but I think the Supreme and the Triumph were the two where I think British trainers suddenly might have thought, oh, OK, this might be a bit tougher than we thought, but only...
The Supreme? I didn't see the Supreme, really. I didn't see a Supreme horse.
Okay.
At the weekend, I thought they were much of a muchness. The talks and the bally fads and the, you know.
Well, let's get into it in a second.
That.
But what?
We'll that. But that was my feeling about it.
Yeah.
Is that I wouldn't be sitting there as a British trainer losing too much sleep. That's for sure.
There was certainly more. Oh, okay. Like you know, that's running below port. Oh, okay. There was certainly more sort of shrugs of the shoulders than I think. You know. Eye-popping performances, weren't there? So, right, let's have a look on the chat. Well, before we do, don't forget, of course, it is our show is sponsored by Boyle Sports for the season leading up to the end of the jumps action. If you are a new customer to Boyle Sports, there is a link below. You can click and get £40 in free bets, and you also get best odds guaranteed on singles and multiples on all UK and Irish racing as well. And on the three races we've got for tonight, we're going to have some very special boosts, which we will give you at the back end of the show. So don't forget to click on the link below and sign up there. Let's have a quick look at the chat, what people have been saying. Lots of surprising results, and some races didn't live up to the bill. Viper, there you go. We just spent 5 minutes saying that, what Viper said in 10 words. Beautiful stuff, Viper. All four championship races are awful quality, says 06 Keely. I assume that's not Paul, but it wouldn't surprise me. It sounds like something he might say. Dugro says, why was Graham on the preview show for the DRF when he admits he doesn't back much Irish racing? Dugro, there are only so many people in the building to actually get on the shows, and sometimes you do a show where you don't have that much of an opinion, Graham.
Well, that's just the job, isn't it, Ross?
It is just the job. It would also be quite unprofessional of you to say, no, I'm not going to do it, mate. Don't really.
It's also worth pointing out, boys, that Keels and I sometimes can't do them because we got a tip on the races. So we can't give our opinions on races on a Friday when we're doing them on a Sunday. Do you see what I mean? So It's the way it works.
So it's the look of the draw, isn't it? It's the look of the draw sometimes. Any chance Kopeck de Bord runs in the champion hurdle would be interesting. I mean, any chance Kopeck de Bord runs full stop, I think. GDC's past his best, says Paul Stokes. More questions than answers for me. Head scratches galore, says Kevin Duna. Right, okay, let's jump into it then, because I've got loads of questions, loads of horses. Let's go through them. And first off, let's start off with Final Demand, who I think was the disappointment of the weekend, Tom, for many people. Because obviously he was a very, very short price for the Brown Advisory. He was a very, very short price this weekend. And you could tell from a long way out that it wasn't going entirely to plan.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been in print since last year saying I've written more words about Final Demand than probably any horse in training, thinking that he's probably the most overrated horse in training at the moment. Not that he can't get to a high standard, but he just hasn't done it yet. He hasn't beaten a good horse. If you look through all his form, it's not great. The one time he took on a good horse, the New Lion, he couldn't match it. But that's not to say I thought he was anywhere. I mean, I still think he was way below form, even on Sunday. I thought he jumped badly, but I just don't like him. I just don't think he's that good, Ross. And yeah. So for a man that was... I had to do the Brown Advisory chase today. I was hoping that he'd sort of struggle and win and still be 5-4 for the Brown Advisory. And then we'd have nice big prices about Wendigo and Western Fold and the Big Westerner. Unfortunately, he fluffed his lines and I don't see many ways back for him. I think he's probably got a physical issue somewhere along the line, but he's not for me. He might look great. I know it's funny, isn't it? How all these horses that look beautiful and are massive and jump and are perfect chasers, then... Do you know what I mean? You get sucked into them. Punters get sucked into them. We all got sucked into Final Demand. I just don't think he's that good.
Well, you know, and like, I don't know. This is a weird example, but look at Lionel Messi. I mean, greatest footballer we've ever seen. If you were sort of draw the perfect footballer, you wouldn't draw bloody Lionel Messi, would you? You know what I mean? My thing about Final Demand is, oh, he's a big staying chaser. Is he? Or his best performance for me came over 2.5 over hurdles. Like, is there a possibility... I mean, admittedly, you know, this weekend is a whole different kettle of fish. But to me, he got outstayed at Cheltenham last year. You know, I know he obviously might have been something up for this weekend, but he didn't necessarily get home that strongly either. I don't know. He could be more of an Alaho in the future, a similar type. He was struggling over 3 miles and then did better over shorter. But I'm not entirely sure he's a proper stayer.
No, we don't know yet, do we? We're still learning about him.
Were you disappointed with him at the weekend?
Yeah, we had to be, didn't you? I think we sat here on Friday, said he should win. He never seemed to be right at any stage of the race, did he? He never really jumping, never really travelling. I won't name, but it was a famous trainer always used to say, big horse, big problems. And whenever I see a big horse now, I always think, big problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at all those big types that really catch people's eye and people wax lyrical about. The times that they end up on the sidelines with injuries or things not going right with them, it just seems to happen a lot. And Willie Mullins, I think, suggested afterwards in his interview on Racing TV with, it might have been Lydia, maybe that he was feeling a niggle, he would get it checked out with Final Demand, and that would certainly be a worry going into a big race at Cheltenham, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've been here before, boys, haven't we? Ballyburn last year.
Yeah.
You know, Final Demand this year. You know, we get sucked into these horses. Look, Ballyburn's probably a different kettle of fish because he did win the Turners by about 15 lengths.
Yeah.
But at this stage last year, he was odds on, wasn't he, for the Brown Advisor, and he hasn't won a race since.
As for the rest, the other things I'm going to throw in. First off, Mark Walsh riding like a man who, if he rides enough winners, might get his job for another year. He's been unbelievable over the last couple of days. And, I mean, Mashborough, did he cheat pieces? Did everything else just hate the ground? Is he finally grown up? Or was it just a combination of the whole shebang?
Well, he's always had that performance in the locker, hasn't he? It was just whether he was going to put it all together. And when he did put it all together, that was going to happen. And it happened on Sunday. Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah. The weekend. Let's say the weekend.
The weekend. Who knows what caused it? Maybe it was the cheap pieces. Maybe it was Graham. Maybe it was just the fact they let him bounce out in front and he didn't really see another rival and he jumped nice and fast and quick and he actually jumped well, didn't he? It's not something you say often about him, but he jumped well.
Which again, I guess the question is this the one-off where it all comes together or has he now... Have they figured out those issues?
Well, chasing history would suggest it's a bit of an... It doesn't happen very often when it all comes together for him.
Yeah.
Maybe changing... If they go out and blast him off in front in the cheek pieces again, you might see it again. I wouldn't want to take a short price about you seeing him doing that again, but no doubt about it, if he turns up and does that in the champion chase, there's only going to be one winner, isn't there?
Very different proposition, though, Tom, isn't it? Up and down and constantly round at Cheltenham. I mean, I know Leopardstown is a good prep for Cheltenham, but it's a unique track, and he ploughed through a few last year. But again, it was nice to see, personally, because I was thinking, you know, what an engine, but he can't get over a fence. And then you don't want to see that from talented horses. You want to see them do what he did at the weekend.
Yeah, I thought he jumped a lot better the time before. I didn't see... I think people see races as they expect to see them. And when he ran at Christmas, I didn't see him jump that badly at all. Mm. Everyone was telling me he did. It was nothing like he was at the start of the season or was at Cheltenham Festival last year. I thought he jumped perfectly fine, really. And then he came back and put in a great round. Now, I'm probably not going to be on Barry Connell's Christmas card list when I say this. But if you're saying Madgeborough is putting in a one-off performance, Marine National has won 3 of his 9 chases. 3 of his 9 for this wonder horse. Yeah. And the other 2, he was upsides or behind horses when they fell at the last or the second last. So I'm not saying he wouldn't have won the champion chase. I think he would have. But it was still, who knows what would have happened. I mean, it was 90% he was going to win. But at Punchestown last year, I thought he was going to get beaten by El Fabiolo when that one fell. So he would be 2 from 9. He is, you know, people love him and he's got a fantastic, because of his Cheltenham record, people put too much store in Cheltenham. He's won. I always want to take on. I'd rather take him on than Madgeborough any day of the week because I'm not sure he loves it myself. Not many horses you see with their ears pinned back on their shoulders are top horses, and that's the way he runs. I don't know. I'd be worried about both of them in the champion chase. I wouldn't be sure about wanting to back either of them at short prices.
No, I mean, and again, remember, you don't want to back anything at short price in the champion chase. It is the ultimate, you know, trap. Isn't it? And again, I mean, look, the thing about Marine Nationale, he's 2 from 2 at Cheltenham, and his record at Leopardstown is first, fifth, third, second. So, look, it might be very different when he goes back to his favourite track. As for the others, you said about the Supreme, but look, I wasn't a talk fan pre-weekend. I thought the race fell apart a little bit previously when he came down at the last. I thought you're clearly a good horse. But the race has set it up and you were about to take full advantage. Fair play to you. But turning to the home straight, Tom, in that race at the weekend, I thought, he's got no chance from here. They've dawdled. There's 2 talented gallopers on the speed. They're taking each other on. It's going to be between Ballyfan and King Rasco Grey. And even as they approached the final hurdle, I thought, Talk the Talk's going to run on. It's going to be a nice performance. But I thought he was electric. That was the wow for me. It was the one horse this weekend that won in a style where I thought you had no right to win that race, and that impressed me.
That's possible. I mean, I haven't, as I say, I was stuck on a motorway in Northampton, so I've only seen the race a couple of times and haven't really watched it that hard from start to finish. So maybe you're right. I personally think he wants further. I think he wants 2.5 miles. I'd run him in the turners myself.
Is that not the perfect Supreme horse, though? That's what I thought in my head.
I don't think he'll beat Old Park Star. You see. I think Old Star's something of a good thing in that race. So I would always be looking to run in the race you can win. And I don't think the Turners at this stage looks very... I mean, obviously, Paul Norcus's horse is good, but I don't think he's unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. He could be. I mean, he's a very nice horse, isn't he? I mean, he should have won 2 grade ones now. Yeah. And he keeps getting the job done and he finishes well. Yeah, he could be. I wonder whether Old Park Star will be 10 lengths ahead of him, jumping the second and last, and that will be the end of him.
Yeah, possibly, but it feels like a Constitution Hill John Bond matchup again a little bit now. Again, it started to excite me that we've generally got 2 proper challengers. What else do you want to talk about from the weekend?
Yeah, I thought he did remarkably well to win Talk the Talk. I coming to the last, I was lambasting JJ Slevin for giving him far too much to do. I was like, what has he done on this? And he's given him way too much to do. He's never going to get there. And somehow he still won. The worry, as Tom says, is that that old Park Star looks like Constitution Hill, don't he? Or he looks you know, proper. He looks like he's got a proper engine. And
but that's exciting for the suit. I mean, it's exciting because that's what you want. The best Supremes are the one where you've got two proper heavyweights duking it out, and then there's three or four that you generally can't rule out either.
It's going to be a cracker, isn't it? If Talk the Talk runs, like Tom says, they might get tempted if they think that Old Park Star is difficult to beat. Who knows? Yeah. It was a good performance, I thought, from Talk the Talk.
What do you think of the doctor? What did you think of the doctor today, Rodders?
Yeah, that was a weird one, wasn't it, right? Because... He pulled hard, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't jump massively impressively early doors either.
I thought he had no chance after about a mile or a mile and a half. I thought there's no way this horse wins. And he won really well in the end. And either the rest aren't very good or more likely he's very good, I think. What do you think, Tom?
I think he's very good, but I don't think he'll... it's hard to... Would you send him up in trip?
You'd have to go for the Turners, surely.
You'd have to go for the Turners. He's like 2-1 for the Albert Barla, and I'm sort of sitting there thinking...
No way, yeah.
I mean, my thought, having watched that race, Tom, was winner Turners, second Albert Bartlett, third Martin Pipe.
There we go. Well, it's very possible. It's very possible. I hope the second doesn't win the Albert Bartlett, because I've got my biggest anti-post bet on Paul Nolan's horse, which I can't remember the name of.
The Devil You Know?
Yes, the one that was second to Dr. Steinberg and won the River Don the other day. I really like that horse.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily think he'd win. He just, in terms of races that they... Again, that's what I liked about this weekend. It's like, okay, you've shown your hand into this race and so on and so forth. Again, I think the third in particular was a... You know, because you need a graded horse for the handicap. You need a graded horse for the graded races, Tom. You need a graded horse for the handicaps. So, at the moment, which with that in mind... A couple of other horses interested me a little bit from this weekend. We talk about the obviously Bright Days Ahead and Lossy Mouth. First off, what did you make of those two? I mean, the Champion Hurdle market at the moment, Tom, is, again, anytime anything happens, people go wild. Oh, so this piles into favouritism, and then it goes wrong, and then this piles into favouritism. It's like it's an accordion of a market, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, that's one of the races we're doing later on, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So we'll probably...
That's a good point.
I completely agree with you. It's completely bonkers, isn't it? The Champion Hurdle market. Every week it changes.
Yeah. In which case, we should probably touch on the juvenile race, because Narciso has obviously plenty of experience, took the race by the scruff of the neck. Again, another great Mark Walsh ride from this weekend. But the second ran a bit of a cracker.
Yeah, I must confess that, would you believe, being Monday, it's often the quieter day for me, so I had a training session for an hour and a half this afternoon, booked in from 1 till 2:30 in the afternoon.
No.
Now, I did see this race.
Well, then normally you'd be like, it's fine, novice hurdle at Kempton, handicap chase at Southall.
Exactly.
Right.
When I walked in this morning, I totally forgot that I had this training booked with an ex-army fellow who was really...
Sorry,
awesome.
What the hell are you training for, Robert? What?
I thought you were meaning you were like learning how to use the computer or something.
Yeah, he's training for the New World Order, is Rod, isn't he? What were you training for?
It was about, like, you know, resolution and being resolute and dealing with stress and stuff like this.
dealing with Irish meat and festivals that you don't fancy anything at.
And would you believe it? Just with obviously the DRF getting cancelled on Saturday, moved to the Monday. It happened to fall right in the middle of the DRF. I was actually sitting there doing this training session with my iPad right next to me, with one eye on both. And this race, Narciso has raced, happened to fall right in the middle of this training session. Narciso, I thought, ran really well, and he won really well, and he was the He wasn't. I thought he was going to be a small, nippy sort of horse. First time I've really seen him. But he's got a bit of size about him, hasn't he, Narciso has?
Yep.
Now, I assume the second, I don't actually remember, but I assume it was the Rich Ritchie horse, was
yes.
it? I saw it at the corner of my eye while the armor guy was doing his thing. It appeared to be giving it a really quiet ride and kept
and
on quite
she,
nicely.
She sighed through the pack, now, what's blundered that? The last.
What's it called, the horse?
Selma de... I can't read my own handwriting.
You sure you weren't in this training
Selma
session?
Selma de Mary. Yeah, it was me all along. I'm the ex-army guy. Failed the test.
So, no. I thought Narciso has looked good, and I'll let you take it away with the runner-up because I didn't get to see... I've only seen it, like, really quickly.
Well, I mean, she reminded me a bit... There was a bit of... oh, God, there's so many horse names. What was Gala Marcel? But that year, a good juvenile filly, Tom, is a handy thing to have in the Triumph. And I thought she ranked well. And I thought the Cromwell horse, they get another run in, might be a Fred Winter runner as well. But what did you make of the juvenile?
I thought the winner's going to win the Triumph, and it's not even going to be close, because I think he's got the perfect run style. He's a real strong galloping horse. You've got to remember, the Triumph is a real test of stamina for those 4-year-olds. And I can't see anything getting near him, to be honest.
Fair enough. There you go. As far in the chat, very impressed with Manchester, says Paul Stokes. Cheap Peter seemed to work. Manchester has the biggest engine. His jumping has improved to a point, says Alex Mansfield. Keely wearing... we should do a show where we can just read these comments out. Lossy Mouth was... Something.
Not very good.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, I just like the succinct nature. You can analyse all you want, or you can come on and just, she was. And actually, one more thing we should mention, was, where are we? Oh, should we perhaps read it? There we go. Oh, yeah, well, I mean, of course, the Irish Gold Cup today. I mean...
That was brilliant.
I mean, what again, sometimes... Because we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? About sometimes you get a thing in your head, and like Tom said, maybe sometimes it's what you want to happen. So people thought they saw galloping return, and what they wanted to see was that's his best return yet, which means he'll build on it. And you know, you look at Factor Five and you think, well, today will be a spin for the Ryanair because he doesn't get home over 3 miles. And people look at Gaelic Warrior and go, well, he's got no chance because he doesn't like Leopardstown. And then the race unfolds today. And you just have to throw your hands up and go.
Well, I put my hands up and say I got this totally wrong. I thought we were going to see the Factor File we saw in last year's race turn up.
Yeah.
Which isn't the same Factor File that turns up every now and again. Like, this Factor File that turns up every now and again is like a worldie, isn't he? He's absolutely unbelievable to watch. He jumps well and he travels like a machine, and he turns up in the Ryanair every now and again, and he turns up in the, the old Royal Sun Alliance Chase, what they call it now? Brown Advisory. Yeah, he turned up in that, didn't he? He went round like a dream.
He was toying. He toys with his rivals in a way that you think, again, like a Mo Salah, where he's having one of those matches where you just think at any point you can just pop one in the top corner. And it feels like today, if you've got a Factor File like that, every point during that race, I thought, crikey, he's loving life.
Yeah, and he just looks amazing. And I've never been worried about his stamina. Like, people saying he didn't stay. I was there that day with you when he won the Brown Advisory, and they all turned into the straight together. And I remember the commentator saying, oh, they're all turning in with a great chance, and which one's going to come up the hill in front? And you turned to me and you said, yeah, but we all know which one's going to come up the hill in front. And sure enough, Factor File stormed up the hill over 3 miles in the Brown Advisory that day. I thought after that he was natural for the Gold Cup. And then before you know it, they're saying he doesn't stay. But when he turns up on his top form, and I didn't think we were going to see it. I thought we were going to see the Factor File that we saw last year in last year's race. But today we saw the real Factor File.
And the question is, look, the question here, Tom, is we keep saying, again, like with the Champion Hurdle Market, you know, it is possible to leave your race, you know, run a huge race, bounce a little bit, leave your race behind. Factor File, huge race, left his race behind at Kempton. Huge race today. I mean, did Galloping, huge race on his return, bigger than he normally runs, left it a bit behind a little bit last time out. I mean, what a race for a start.
I loved it today. I love Factor File. I always have done. We do our, Rodders gets us all to do our as soon as the Cheltenham Festival was finished, do our bet for the next year's Cheltenham Festival. And my bet last year was Factor File to win the Gold Cup, which looked completely ridiculous when he went back to 2 miles at Punchestown, you know, at the Punchestown Festival, you know, like a month after he'd won the Ryanair. Now it's not looking so stupid. But is he going to be the same horse that we saw? I mean, because he does have two ways of going, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. One, when he's at his best, he's the best horse in training. I have no doubt about it at all. The best chaser in training. But, you know, if we get the Kempton one or the champion, the Punchestown one, who, you know, he can look really, really moderate. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't believe he won't run in the Gold Cup. I mean, I don't know who's doing JP McManus's entries, but he needs to have a word with him, because last year he took an Either Way You're Thinking out, and this year he took Factor Fire out.
Yeah. But on the flip side, he'd be 1-3 for the Ryanair, and he could run round backwards, couldn't he? So
yeah, but they could also, I don't know, I think Gaelic Warrior will run in the Ryanair now. Yeah, you see, yeah.
Can we just have a minute for Gaelic Warrior? Who, ever you were saying about people seeing what they want to see, yeah. The idea that Gaelic Warrior is an inconsistent horse has stuck with. Oh, you know, you say about Factor File is an inconsistent horse to a certain extent. Gaelic Warrior is arguably the most consistent horse in training now, isn't he? The past couple of seasons, every single race he runs in, he turns up. Apart from the weird two-runner race. When was that? So we're going back to what? February 2024. I think every single race since then, he's run an absolute blinder.
Absolutely. He's a really, really top horse, isn't he? Whether he's a Gold Cup winner, yeah. I don't know. He's got as good a chance as any. He must have. I think he'll stay the trip. But whether they, you know, because I don't think Willie will run both of them, or all of them, in the Gold Cup when there's the Ryanair there for one of them to win. Yeah. Who knows which way they'll go? But I'm with you. I think Gaelic Warrior is and we know his form around Cheltenham is really good too. So, you know, he's banging there with a chance.
Okay, lovely stuff.
Can I just ask you one question, right?
Yep.
What on earth has happened to the Gold Cup winner?
Yeah, yeah, fair.
What has happened to I Know the Way You're Thinking?
I mean, there's bouncing, and then there's bouncing so down the stairs and into the cellar, isn't it? I mean, because he's not lifted a leg all season.
No,
he just can't. And if he does, you're going to clip this up, but in the future. But he's got no chance, has he? Every time
he won't run, will he?
No.
Now,
I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't thought so. I guess. Look, you get Gold Cups like that, don't you? You know, your Lord Windermere is the first one that comes to mind, where everything comes right on the day, and then you just never see the horse run to that level again, Tom.
Yeah, that's true. Last year's Gold Cup totally fell apart, didn't it? I don't think Galopin ran anywhere near his form. And then you got the grey horse of Mouse Morris's in third. And was it? I can't remember who was fourth. But it wasn't a great race. Let's put it like that. It fell apart.
Yeah.
Maybe he looked better than he was. But nonetheless, he is not raced a gallop for some time now.
Yeah. Right, okay. Other things, I'm going to throw them in. We haven't got time to go through them, but I made the notes. So anyway, Poneros. Thought that was a nice run on his return. Might be a champion hurdle, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Firefox for a Grand National? Anyone? Firefox for Grand National?
Monty Star for a Grand National?
Oh, see, I thought Monty Star. I thought it was the opposite. I thought Monty Star for a Ryanair, maybe. I think you got a bit tired, but Firefox running on at the back end. Gordon Elliott, 8-year-old.
Yeah, I don't like horses. I don't like those late headway monkeys, Ross. They always look like they stay, and then they never do. I like, you know, I think Monty Star was up with it. He jumped the second last in front, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I thought he ran a really good race, he did. I wouldn't be surprised. Most of his form suggests he'll stay forever, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is true, yeah, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. But we'll get to them later on, obviously. That's way down the line. So before we... right, let's get stuck in. We've got 3 Cheltenham races to get stuck into. Before we do, again, don't forget, the link is in the description if you want to click and sign up, new customer to Ball Sports. I said 10 quid. Get 40 quid free, best odds guaranteed, and plenty of other fun and games as well. That link is in the description below. So get involved in that. Right, 3 races tonight, starting off with the Arkle, which, again, still has plenty of interest to come this week, of course. course, with possibly two races that could have an impact at Newbury and at Warwick. Lalambre is currently a short price favourite for both of those races. He's also a short price favourite for the Arkle itself. He's 11-8. Kopec de Bord is 3-1. Romeo Coolio 4's Cargeesi 5's Mambo number 5 is 14-1. Irish Panther 14's Capuchin Pike 16-1 and 25-1 bar those. And here we are again. It begins again. As Lalambre, the thorn in my side. And, well, I say that, look, again, I didn't fancy him for the triumph, and some people still haven't got over that, apparently. However, since he's gone over fences, Rodders, part of the reason I didn't fancy him for the triumph, he looked a chaser. And turns out, he's a hell of a chaser. But he's, again, he's 11-8. He's a five-year-old who don't have a fantastic record. Good horses, 0-17, past 20 years. Mashburgh, Riviere, Detail, All Mankind, Fakir Doudary, St. Calvados all went off short prices and got beat in that. And of course, he's still got to run again this weekend. Mm. I mean, after this weekend, he might be 8-11, not 11-8.
Yeah, there's a good chance he will be, won't there? He should win, shouldn't he, this weekend?
He could win both races.
Well, where's he going to go? Is he going to go to Game Spirit, which Henderson's won, hasn't he, with a few novices before? Did he do it with Sprint Sacra? I think he might have done. Altior, maybe both.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought at Sandown, I questioned about whether he would be quick enough to go around Sandown. Well, it was never in doubt. He travelled like a good horse, jumped well. And then he really put that be aware to the sword from the second last, didn't he? Just left him behind like he was a handicapper. And he probably is a handicapper, be aware. I think he's quite an interesting horse, be aware, because he's got a few lines in this division, hasn't he? Like he guarantees you a solid pace, doesn't he? Goes out, jumps well. Dan Skelton's horse, grey horse, jumps well, goes a solid gallop.
He reminds me, you remember a few years ago, Sky Pirate sort of ran in all those good races and then won the Grand Annual. He's got that sort of vibe about
him. Look at him, yeah. It goes off in front, which you like, don't you, in that sort of race, jumps well. But nevertheless, yeah, he set the race up perfectly and Lalambre went and hammered them, didn't he? And after that, I thought it was a monstrous performance and I just thought, well, this horse is going to be very difficult to beat in the Arkle. Then Kopec de Bord went and got went and had a setback and now he hasn't run, has he, since he's won run. And Lalambre is a short price favourite and I think he's right to be.
Yeah. I mean, he's 11-8 here, Tom, but I mean, obviously, you've got the second favourite is, even if he does turn up, turning up in the Arkle off the back of one slowly run chase win is, that'd be some feat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the price as well, isn't it? I mean, 3-1 on the back of that. I mean, who knows if he'll run? That's the question, isn't it? I mean, it's not for me at that sort of price. Lalambre's quite an interesting one, isn't he? Because he reminds me a bit of Final Demand. He actually hasn't beaten that many good horses yet. In fact, I'm struggling to find too many. Do you know what I mean? His form, he's looked brilliant, undoubtedly looked brilliant at Sandown, but he couldn't have had a better setup for any horse in any race to look better than to look good as he did that day. Be aware, an Al Nilam or whatever it's called went off at a million miles an hour and set it up for a stayer, didn't they? They set it up for something to hit the line. The form hasn't. Be aware, has got beaten since. The third's got beaten since. Lump Sum's got lapped at Kempton. Al Nilam's not hardly finished a race since. The horse that he beat at Exeter's got beaten at Ayr in a five-runner race since. It's just not brilliant form. That's not to say he's not a brilliant horse. That's the difference I always have to make. He could be. But at the moment, I'm not sure he's that outstanding. That might be proven wrong at the weekend.
It's tough. It's similar. I mean, he's similar to Mashburgh in a sense of sort of coming out of the juvenile division and then going over fences, isn't it? And the juvenile division, like the two-year-old races, you know, you often get 500 horses and only two of them are any good.
Mashburgh did win the Triumph Hurdle. At the end of the day, Lalambre didn't win the Triumph Hurdle. Now, he nearly won it, but he didn't. So, I don't know. He's a bit Final Demandy for me at the moment. I think he's probably not got the holes in his form that Final Demand has, but he's still 11-8. Let him run. You can let the top two run, I think. Romeo Coolio just... He just looks like he's a three-miler. I don't know. I'm not sure he's that good either. Do you know what I mean? He keeps winning, but I don't know. I thought Cargeese had him beat dead to rights the whole way round this time. And I think if she jumped the last, the drone shots are fantastic at DRF, may I say. She lost three lengths plus at the last on him and was only beaten a neck at the line. So I could see her running really well. You've got to remember, she is a better hurdler than... She's probably a higher rated hurdler than Romeo. She's definitely a higher rated hurdler than Romeo and Lou Lamba. I thought she jumped really well today. I was really impressed with her.
She jumped and she travelled and she battled. I mean, it was sort of the full package, wasn't it?
I thought so. And also, you've got to remember, she's battle-hardened. I was writing a weekend piece today about how people, you know, you see all these previews and they go, oh, he's only just a handicapper. I want to be a handicapper. I want to have won a county hurdle like State Man. Yeah. I want to have run in a big handicap like I Know the Way You're Thinking or Denman or Bobsworth or, you know, those horses. I want to be battle-hardened before I go to Cheltenham. Some of these horses, like Lou Lamb, will have only been running against two or three horses all season. Yeah. Kajis, we know, is a real rock-solid horse that can do it in the heat of battle. I think she's got as good a chance as any of those ones there on what she's done so far. I liked her. I like her Cheltenham form. Do you know what I mean? She's been second in the Triumph. She's won a county.
Yeah.
And she's just very good. She looked very good to me today. Mambo number five, I don't quite understand. So I'll leave that one to Rodders.
Well, I mean, the thing, to view Mambo number five, again, you're talking about races setting up. His win last time out, I mean, it was gift-wrapped for me. I mean, they went off a mad gallop. Everything was ploughing through fences, going off at a million miles an hour. It was a lovely time ride, but it was like horses. It was like a 1-2 shot winning at Lingfield on the flat to me. Slingshotted, everything goes to plan. Wow, impressive. But he's clearly a very... he's a big lad. He's clearly a very good horse, but... It set up for him.
Yeah, no, it did. Yeah, and yeah, it's possible that he did look better than he actually is. He does win races, doesn't he?
Ben Pauling's
by his name. Ben Pauling is obviously having a great time of things, isn't he? He's the up and coming trainer at the moment. He's not outstanding. I think we know that, but he's a good solid horse who's probably going to run well without winning. You would probably think.
Yeah. So what, I mean, again, I agree with Tommy in the sense that I was struggling for a strong opinion in this race until the race today when I thought, actually, Carl's easy, yeah. First and second at Cheltenham, battle hard and, you know, jump, travel. I thought it was a huge run. Are you joining us on Carl's easy, or is there someone else to throw into the mix?
I mean, I backed July Flower after she won the Arkle trial at the track in November. I thought she did it well. Again, Be Aware was in that race, went a bonkers pace in front, and I thought July Flower went every tap with him and stayed on really strongly and beat him well. Obviously not as well as Lou Lamba beat him, but I did take a big price about July Flower after she won that. Henry de Bromhead won that race with Put the Kettle On before she won the Arkle at a big price. I'm not saying... that I fancy her so strongly now because she's been beaten since, hasn't she?
Behind she has, but Henry's horses
Irish
do.
Irish Panther, wasn't it?
But they come back. They come back every year. They come back, don't they? And you know, he's had a fairly desperate winter, but he does that. He did it last year, and he did it the year he won the Gold Cup and the National. Every time he does it.
I mean, I've taken 25s. I think she's 40s or 50s, you know, so at least
she's got the value.
At least 33, so I've got the value, and she might well run in the Mare's Novice Chase as well, which she's also in. But I do think she's a decent horse. Whether she's Grade One standard is probably questionable, but yeah, I mean, at this stage, she's as good a bet as any for me.
Okay, Romeo Corleone's further says Wasim. There's a good chance Kopeck doesn't even get there. Says Big Shug. Prometheus doesn't think he'll get there at all. The Lamba would be odds on the day. Says Max Fowler, and Dicey Riley says the Lamba is the biggest cert for Cheltenham.
Ross, so,
yes.
Ross, I've got my hand up. Can I put another one?
Seagull,
in?
Seagull, what is it now, boy?
The ridiculously named Kappa G Pike.
Yeah.
Now. He ran in the Turners last year and ran a much better race than people would think. He ran a lot better than Kay Doty did, for example. This year, he's running two novice chases. The novice chase he won last time when he was set a lot to do out the back is a really strong... The second that day was Jacob's Ladder, who absolutely bolted up in that handicap today at Leopardstown. I think Kappa J Pike is crying out for a strongly run 2 miles. Now, he has the option of running in loads of races. He might not run here. He might go to Fairy House. But he's won 2 novice chases now against good horses, doing in a tricky way. He's come from last to first, basically, both times. He beat Salvatore Mundi first time up, and then he's beaten Jacob's Ladder and loads of good horses at, I think it was Punchestown last time. I like him a lot. He's the type of horse that I don't know if he's going to run here, but I think he's a grade one, top class novice chaser at the moment. And if he was to run, he would be my bet without a shadow of a doubt.
There you go. Lovely stuff. Right, that's the article then. Let's move on to the champion hurdle, shall we? Brighter Days Ahead, 9-4, The New Lion, 9-4, Lossiemouth, 4-1, Constitution Hill, 9-2, Golden Ace, 7s, and then 20s Bar, including Poneros and Anzadam, who were both beaten this weekend at Leopardstown, of course. They were beaten behind Brighter Days Ahead, who did one of those things that she does, where just breaks horses and destroys their spirit when she is on form. But again, another one of those markets where it only takes one performance to catapult you to the top of the betting. The New Lion, of course, scrambled home last time out. Lossiemouth, still people think she might go for this, even though it's still not happened yet. And then, of course, you throw in Constitution Hill and the ever-underrated Golden Ace. What did you make of the weekend's race in relation to what it might say ahead of the Champion Hurdle?
You know, that was a race that I got right and that I expected. Maybe I did see what I wanted to see, but I did think that Brighter Days Ahead would reverse those places with Lossiemouth, and that Lossiemouth would end up going for the mares as a result, and Brighter Days Ahead would end up going for the champion, which is going to happen. The problem, of course, is that monstrous performances have all come around Leopardstown, haven't they, Brighter Days Ahead? And she has been beaten twice at Cheltenham, once by Golden Ace, and last year she was bitterly disappointing. Despite the race totally falling apart around her, she still came home well beaten. I saw her on Racing TV again at the weekend, Gordon Elliott making lots of excuses. I think he said that she wasn't right last year, and when she got beaten at Cheltenham the time before, she was beaten by Golden Ace, who went on to win Champion Hurdle. But nevertheless, she was a hot favourite to beat Golden Ace that day, and she was disappointing.
And she must have had, I mean, she had a pretty horrible experience there last year as well. Mm. That might leave its mark a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have her on my mind at the price. I mean, she's obviously a top class horse around Leopardstown, isn't she? We've seen it time and again.
Yeah.
But she's quite a way below that at Cheltenham at the moment. And I think she's well worth taking on.
That said, where are we? I'm looking for the thing here down here. So where are we? I've lost it now. Look, it doesn't matter. Anyway, the point is, Tom, that she's been catapulted 9-4. And look, a talented mare in the Champion Hurdle again is also a pretty lethal weapon. We do have a very talented mare in the Champion Hurdle, and she's fifth in at the betting, and you're keeping the faith.
Well, yes. I mean, I gave her absolutely no chance last year, and she probably did have no chance last year. But I don't think she was in any sort of form at all last season. I thought she was miles below form in every single run, apart from her last one at Punchestown, where she bounced back to form and split State Man and Cargis. This season, throw the first run out, and I think she's been as good as ever. I don't know whether the New Lion would beat her and would have beaten her when he fell. And when, you know, she's had run loads of times over 2 miles over hurdles. The only two horses have beaten her, apart from the Katira one at Weatherby in the two-runner race, have been Sergino and State Man.
Yeah. It's not bad, is it?
Not bad. It's not bad. And I think people still underestimate her because it was a terrible race last year.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It was. It couldn't have been. It was the worst champion hurdle in history, the way it turned out. But it wasn't her fault she won. But I think she's in much better form this year. I really do. And I just can't see how she's not going to... Well, I can't see why Brighter Days Ahead would beat her. She absolutely walloped her in the mare's race that day. I know Brighter Days Ahead was giving her £6, but watch the race again. She cantered all over her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The New Lion, I think, has a very good chance because I trust the Skeltons. I think he's going to be spot on the day, but I don't see Lossiemouth winning. Who knows what Constitution Hill's going to do? And then you're talking in realms of, you know, Poneros, I agree with you, Ross, ran an interesting race today, but he's still got a... he's still a five-year-old that's got to go to the, you know, win a champion early. It's quite hard to do. He wasn't a brilliant flat horse.
No, and personally, that, if he was mine, I'd 1-4-9. I'd be popping him in the county hurdle.
Like, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Just to pick up on a point, by the way, you say that you said about last year being a terrible champion hurdle, and people keep saying this, but correct me if I'm wrong, but this year's going to be the same race, but you swap the State Man for the new Lion, and for me, that's a downgrade. So, if it was a terrible race last year, it's the same race this year.
Yeah, that's the point. It's not a great race, is it? I can't see any reason why she isn't going to hit the frame again. Now, the new Lion might be very good. I know you clearly don't rate him as being that good, but he might be.
But right now, he is a downgrade on State Man just because of what.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course he is. Of course he is. Of course he is. If Lossy Mouth doesn't turn up, the thing is, I would say is that Willie Mullins is going to have a runner. He's not going to be able to. Now, when Any Power ran in the race, she ran in the race because he didn't have it. Because what's the name that won the champion hurdle loads of times? Hurricane Fly wasn't around anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He will want a runner. If his best chance is Lossy Mouth, I would imagine she still might run, despite what everyone says, because he's not the type of man that isn't going to want to go for the champion hurdle. And it's pretty hard to find one that he's got with a chance. I mean, I suppose Bally Byrne could run, but would you fancy him? No. So you're not looking at a very good...
Who's got a chance?
Sorry?
I think he's got a chance, Bally Byrne.
If he runs in
this? If he runs, yeah. I mean, I long thought that he's been running over the wrong trip. 2.5-3 miles. He's a really keen going horse, isn't he? He holds his head on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that he reminds me a little bit of Forheen. Very similar sort of horse. Stays well at 2 miles, but I could see them going off in front on Ballyburn in a champion hurdle or trying to be right bang up there and him being quite difficult to pass if they run there. But again,
I think if he was going to run there, he'd have run today or yesterday.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, where is he? What's he doing? Do you know what I mean? If you're going to go for the
he's brushing the grass with his nose somewhere. That's what he's doing.
But that's not Willie Mullins' style, is it? What Willie Mullins does is he preps horses perfectly for races. If he's planning on the champion early, you'd think he'd want to get him a run him over 2 miles before he does it, having been running over 3. So who knows? There might be. Who knows who's going to turn up? But if that lot turn up, Golden Ace won't be out the 3.
Yeah.
I keep looking at Golden Ace, and I've been saying all season, this won't happen again. She's the luckiest horse to ever win all these grade ones.
Yeah.
And then I look at this race and suddenly Sergino goes wrong. She's already beaten Brighter Days Ahead around the track. Lossy Mouth might not run. Constitution Hill. And suddenly you go...
I'm going to say a sentence to you.
Could it happen again?
And Constitution Hill has refused to leave the stalls.
Oh, no.
And then suddenly, at this point, anything could happen.
I don't know what's going to happen. But it's a very thin champion hurdle, and it would not surprise me at all somehow if Golden Ace would manage to win too, but I think the new Lion will probably win it.
He's
pounds better than that performance in the international that we saw.
Yeah, but I am going to say, look, if Tom doesn't think Final Demand's that good, then you kind of got to downgrade the Turner's form last year. He looked like he was about to get beat at Newcastle. He scrambled home ahead of the Nemean Lion. International winners 0-14 in the last 20-odd years. I mean, again, he beat Nemean Lion about the same distance as Golden Ace did, and he made every weather of it. I don't know. Look, I can't work him out. I might be completely wrong about
that. Charlo winners were nought for God knows how much going into last year when he won the Turners. And I just think he looks like a two-miler, and the Skeltons... Yeah. We'll have him right. As Tom says, he's bang on. They'll have that horse 100% spot on the day. And if there's a good pace, I think you'll see a different new Lion. If it's a slowly run race, he's quite a keen goer, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'd be a little bit worried if it was a slowly run race. But there aren't many slowly run champion hurdles. And I think if he gets a pace to go at, he's going to be a much better horse than we've seen.
Okay, fair enough. Right, that's the champion hurdle. Quickly on the chat, and then we'll crack on to the next one. Paddy Ross can't run the county, he's not enough runs. Oh, he's only run 3 times over hurdle, hasn't he? Fair point. In that case, I thought it was he's a 5-year-old, but I thought it was a big return to today. And Cheltenham will suit the new Lion, says David Foster. There's loads of other stuff. Golden Ace is a great each way bet, says Scotty Rhodes. Thanks, Scott. Right, one more race then to have a gander at. It is the Stayers Hurdle, where Tiapu is 13-8 favourite. Honesty Policy 7-2. Bob Ollinger 6s. Cabral de Mathen 6s. Marchand 2 6s. Impost to our 10s. Ballyburn is there again, 12-1. Hewick is 20-1, and bigger prices the rest. And Tiapu is 13-8 after arguably his most impressive performance last time out. Absolutely dotting up. Admittedly, he is bidding to be the first one since Ingles Reaver to retain his crown after, or regain his crown after losing it. Other stats for you in terms of Honesty Policy: Florian Porter and Barracuda, the only two horses this century to win the race on their Cheltenham debut. And Saida Berle and Moscow Flyer are the only two 11-year-old championship race winners in the past 20-odd years. So, yeah, that's three reasons why the first three of the betting can't win, Tom. But look, the Stayers, again, every year is a fascinating mix of horses. Who's starting to bubble to the top of the mix for you?
Oh, well, the horse I've been most impressed with of those lot is Cabral de Mathen by a million miles. And I think he'd go very close to winning it if he ran in it. But from what we gather, that's not the case. So you have to count him out. Honesty Policy, I'm just not convinced. He's another one with no form, is he? The form of the imposed trois race at Ascot hasn't worked out that well. He's plenty short enough on what he's actually achieved. I think Rodders is going to come to Marchand too, who's a favourite of mine. I like him a lot as a horse, but I see it between last year's one and two at the moment. And I think Tihuku will win this year. It sounds very boring, but I thought they waited far too long on him last year. I think he's an absolute out and out grinding stayer, yeah. And they'll get him going a lot further out. Bob was. It's so brilliant at Cheltenham. What is he, 4 from 4 at the festival, is he, or something? Or yep. 4 from 4 at Cheltenham and 3 at the festival, whatever he is. I can see him go. I don't care about his age. He looks like a horse that always has kept a bit back from, you know, the way they ride him. He's not had too many humdingers of races, so I can see him running another great race. I think Tihupu will win, and I think Bob's the danger.
Okay, yeah, so rinse and repeat from last year, potentially. I mean, again, it is always a funny old race, and it does feel like a sort of like a third place playoff at the World Cup. Everything go, oh well, you know, they can always go for the Stayers. But I mean, I love the race. It's never dull.
No, it's never. Oh no, that's for sure. I can see what Tom's saying. Tihupu's short around well, but he's favourite, isn't he? And I love Bob Ollinger.
Yeah,
I just love the way. I know he holds his head a bit funny, but I love the way he comes there travelling. I love him at Cheltenham. He's been so good around there, hasn't he? Last year, the ground came right for him on the day, didn't it? And it was good ground, and he's well suited by good ground, and he had too much speed for Tihupu. He is 11, though. I know that he ran like one of his better races on his comeback, didn't he? Behind Tihupu, it was quite a good run, really, considering.
And also, And lack of Rachel Blackmore a factor, because those two were an unbelievable combination.
Yeah, they were a good combination, weren't they? Yeah, although, like I say, it was a good comeback, you know. But I just can't bring myself to stick with him at 11 at the price.
Well, talk to us about the new kid on the block then, Marchand, too, because the cliche of the further he went, the better he looked last time.
Yeah, well, he was very good, I thought. I mean, Imposed Toir won the long walk quite well, I thought. Yeah. Honesty Policy was third behind him, and he's a third of the price of, or half the price of Imposed Toir to win this race. Maybe because Honesty Policy ran the final furlong quicker than Imposed Toir, but I thought Imposed Toir had put the race to bed quite comfortably that day. And then I thought Imposed Toir would probably win that cleave, and I was quite surprised in the way, number one, the way that the money came for Marchand too. Before the off, he was absolutely hammered, wasn't he? And he won really well, and he was getting £6 off of Imposed Toir, but it wasn't a great time. But the fact that he was able to put so many lengths between himself and Imposed Toir off what wasn't a ridiculous pace, I thought was quite impressive. And obviously he's a little bit like Paisley Park. He's a poor man's Paisley Park, isn't he?
So I mean, yeah. So far. I mean, but that's quite a high bar to hit, isn't it?
It's quite a high bar to hit. But Emma Lavelle's taking the same route with him. He's the up and comer.
Yeah.
And we don't know if he's good enough, but we do know he loves Cheltenham. We do know he'll be coming up that hill really strongly. He stays very strongly, and we do know that he's improving. And at the prices, like, he'd be the one that I'd be most interested in the race. Like Tom said, if Cabral de Matan turned up.
Yeah,
I think we'd be thinking he had a serious chance.
Yeah, because I mean, he was
really good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was really good. But again, it's again, I admire the skeleton in the sense of like thinking he's 6 years up. Like, we could, if Bob's winning Stayers Hurdles at double figure odds, at double figure age numbers, then you know you don't have to rush a 6 year old going through the grades, do you?
But no, honestly, Policy is six, isn't he? As well, like, yeah. You know, but he's like you say, He's yet to run at Cheltenham. And he was, to my eye, beaten fair and square by Impostoir at Ascot, who is double his price, which doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense to me. Last time Nicky Henderson won these stayers was with Bacchanal in 2000. And that horse actually got beat in the Cleve, just like Impostoir did.
And Listen to Groska did, Cole Harden did, and won this race. That's my first thought, Tom, was in terms of the market, that there was a bit of an overreaction to Impostoir getting beaten in the sense of, again, everyone's all over him when he wins at Ascot, and then everyone abandons him when he gets beat at Cheltenham. But again, it's possible that, I don't know, it's going to be a completely different race, completely different way it's going to be run. And I do think that it probably will suit him better on the day in a bigger field than it did fiddling around in the Cleve.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I personally don't think, the staying hurdle form in Britain this year is that great.
Yeah,
I think they're a bit of a much of a muchness. And I last year we saw it. The Irish came to the fore. The year before we saw it. I think one of the Rob Core horses will win it again, unless Cabral de Matan turns up.
Yeah, and the more you scroll down, you go past. I mean, you go for me. You go past Impostoir almost, and I don't.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in anything. Really.
I don't think Ballyburn stays. Like, for me, he's too keen. Yeah, he's too keen to get home properly over 3 miles unless they go absolutely bonkers. And the rest of them, what, Hewick? I mean, how old is he? Older than Bob Olinger, isn't he?
Well, no, he's the same age as Bob Olinger, but he doesn't have his profile, does he? So,
anything I'd say about the age thing with these stayers is that two of the last three have been double figure age, haven't they? And it's just a race that's never that much strength in depth. So, you know, you can do it.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of the you know, your gallopings is, for example, is, you know, age catches up with you because there are up and comers below you. But in this grade, there's not that many of those, is there? I mean, although to be fair, there is Marchand too, Honesty Policy, and maybe Cabral de Matan if he runs, which he probably won't. Quickly on the chat then. Marchand to his race at £20 below Tiapu. No chance of beating him. Yep, unless he improves and Tiapu runs below his best. I like Bob, but I don't like betting the ground anti-post. And no Rachel Blackmore and Bob this year, says Frizzy Red, could have an impact. Right, I think we've covered quite a lot there, boys. I think I need a good lie down to take all that in. I don't know about you, Rollers, but we've got a few boosts. We've picked one horse for each of the races tonight. So why don't you tell us which race and which horse?
Yes, Stayers, we're boosting Marchand 2, the Boy Sports are.
And just quick line on why you fancy Marchand 2?
Well, he's definitely going to run unless something goes wrong with him. So we've got a guaranteed runner for a start. And he is the up-and-comer in the field, isn't he? To my eye, anyway. And I like the way that he went through the line last time off, albeit a slow gallop. But I just don't think off slow pace it's easy to put that much distance between yourself and the rest. And he certainly did that, didn't he? So, yeah, he needs to improve £20 or whatever. But ratings tell us what's happened in the past. They don't tell us what's going to happen in the future, do they?
No. Fair point. So Marchand 2 sixes out to sevens on the website for the next 24 hours in the no special. Tom?
Yeah, thumbs up to Boyle Sports for the boosts. Well done, boys. I'm going for Golden Ace, believe it or not. I thought, if you'd have told me that 12 months ago, I would have said you're completely bonkers.
Yeah.
But she's twice beaten Brighter Days Ahead. She's twice finished in front of Constitution Hill in races they've run in. Constitution fell once and was pulled up at or nearly pulled up at Punchestown. She's won a race that the New Lion was in when there was it was in the balance. She was 2 from 2 at Cheltenham. Just a lot to like about her. And I think she's in better form this year than she has been since she won the Mayor's Hurdle, beating Brighter Days Ahead a couple of years ago. So don't know what they're boosting it to, but I think she's a cracking each way bet.
7s out to 8s for Golden Ace for the next 24 hours.
Well done, Boyles. I might be. I'll be logging on myself.
There we go, Mr. Siegel with the false moustache. Yeah. Right, and I'll go for Karjiz in the Arkle. I mean, again, when we were asked this morning for the boost, I don't know what to pick for the Arkle. We still got the race this afternoon, and then as soon as that race was run, it was perfect. It crystallised. Again, she ran an absolute cracker. She travelled. She jumped. She battled back. In the end, she's got a cracking Cheltenham record, as you said earlier, Tom. She's battle hardened. She's been, she's running handicap. She's running small field races. She's taken on pretty much every horse she could possibly take on, and she's going to go to the Arkle with a huge chance after today, I think. So yeah, Karjeezy 5s out to 6s for the Arkle for the next 24 hours. Right, that's it for tonight, and we'll be back next Monday where we'll be covering loads of stuff. I mean, as well as Newbury and Warwick at the weekend. There's the Sydney Banks as well this week as well. Anything else? Just quickly, any other races this week? I mean, I only had a quick glance and there's loads going on, isn't there? So
I think so. There'll be something in Ireland over the weekend, I would imagine, but I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, it might. Is it Fairy House?
Definitely Wednesday.
Fairy House, yeah. When's that? That Nace race? Anyway, there'll be something good.
I tell you what, there's some good racing at Exeter on Sunday as well. That novice hurdle that it's got a few in there that might be worth having, keeping an eye on too.
That is true, which, Lucia won a couple of years ago, didn't she?
Sober Glory, Ross, is a horse I like very much.
Yes, Sober Glory and Active Innocence and Cocktail Blur to see if he can boost the Baron Noir form, which producer Ben will be very excited about. Right, thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, like and subscribe. And thanks for getting involved in the chat. We'll see you next Monday for more of the same. Good night.